Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, lovely listeners. This is your host, Lauren, again. And can you believe you are listening to episode 100 of Witchy Wellness Radio, Breaking the Stigma of Menopause with Vanessa Ford? And before we get into this juicy, amazing, and heartfelt interview, I wanted to remind you guys that Witchy Wellness Radio is sponsored by Living the Good Life Naturally Magnesium. And make sure to listen to episode 73, that's 73, with Kristen Bowen, to learn more about the benefits of magnesium. But it is my go-to stress support, magnesium support. It's not an internal supplement. It is something you use transdermally. So either soaking your feet or taking a nice long bath in it. Head over to the show note for the link and make sure you use code WICHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, to get 10% off of your purchase. And lastly, I think a lot of you guys might know this already, but my new upcoming course, Anxious to Align, is launching in just 1 week. Do you guys ever look at your ambitions and wish that you could just get started before your anxiety shuts it all down? Well, in my new course, Anxious to Align, you get to learn the 3-step easy process to transform your crippling fears into unlimited freedom so you can live the dream life that you actually deserve. Head over to the show notes, use that link, and sign up for the VIP waitlist. And all my VIP subscribers will get 20% off on this course. I'm so excited for you guys to finally see my course baby that I've been working on the past few months. Now back to today's show with Vanessa Ford. In the show, you'll hear all about Vanessa's perimenopausal journey and why the current approach to menopause is fundamentally broken and how to fix it, her company MenoLab's 3-pronged approach to menopause, and how menopause impacts lives of women in critically impactful and potentially devastating ways. Is addressing the microbiome and the estrobloom the solution to mitigating the impact of menopause? And why having the right tools to track health during your menopausal transition is key to minimizing the impact of menopause and perimenopause. Please enjoy this groundbreaking interview with Vanessa Ford, episode 100, Breaking the Stigma of Menopause. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. Again, I am your host, Lauren, and this is a show you get to learn how your body is not in the way. It's actually leading the way. And our beautiful guest today, Vanessa Ford, is a shining example of this. She's the co-founder of MenoLabs, a company fundamentally changing the conversation, treatment, and research surrounding the menopausal transition. Vanessa was prompted into action after experiencing her own severe symptoms and finding that there was little in the way of help for her and millions of other women just like her. She refused to accept the situation as inevitable and found the research, the team, and capital to get something done about it. And together, the team built over a $30 million company during COVID lockdown. Wow. I mean, there's so many stories besides just the product, but just the boss lady that you are. Oh. Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Well, geez, that was a great introduction. You know, nobody's called me a boss lady before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I own it. I love having people on, you know, finding something wrong with their lives, making a change, doing the research, because you're right. I think it's just so much of the folklore of just culture around that perimenopausal journey is like not good. Like no one's supposed to look forward to it.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, most people don't even know what perimenopause is. You know, that was definitely my story. I didn't even know the word when I figured out that that was what was happening to me. So You know, it's absolutely, there is folklore around it. You think it happens to you when you're in your 60s. You think you're going to know because you have hot flashes and no more period. But it really is a lot more nuanced and complex. And there's really been a taboo around talking about women's bodies in general for a very long time. And so, you know, I think we're more comfortable talking about childbirth these days than we were 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. More comfortable talking around periods, although I think that conversation is still one that's in progress. But menopause really is still the subject that nobody wants to talk about.
No, but we're talking about it today.
And I love talking about it.
And we're going to talk about your story. I would love to hear, you know, how you decided. I love how people just decide like, nope, this isn't my fate. I'm going to do something about it. I would love to hear that transition, if you will, to building this $30 million company now.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if you had told me even 5 years ago that my life would be this now, I would have said you were completely crazy, because I was like most women. I thought menopause was something that was going to happen to me when I was much older. I thought that it was, you know, going to encompass some hot flashes, and I knew that mood swings were maybe a thing, but I didn't know a lot about it. And, you know, my mother went into menopause through surgically induced menopause. So she had a hysterectomy, and they took everything, including her ovaries. And so she was in surgically induced menopause. So, and that happened when she was in her mid-30s. I think she was 35. So we never talked about it, really. She said, this means I'm not going to have any period anymore. Woohoo for me, right? So I had really no touchstones. And when I was 44, this is going to be maybe a little TMI, ladies, so let's get ready for it, because I think it's important that we talk about these things. So when I was 44, I had a 3-week period, and I don't mean that I bled a little bit, you know, I spotted for 3 weeks. I mean that I had a full on, soak the tampon, several tampons a day kind of period for 3 solid weeks, 21 days. And I got about 2.5 weeks in, and I was just freaking out because, you know, I Googled things, and when you Google things, the thing that you come up with is that you have cancer, right? I mean, I was absolutely guilty of trying to self-diagnose. And, you know, I'm almost 50 now. So when I was 44, you know, the conversation around menopause has changed slightly online. You can find more resources these days, not a great many, but you can find some. But when I was doing this research 6 years ago, it was just, you know, I thought I had cancer. So I called my doctor, and it was 2.5 weeks in. I called her and I said, I think I have to come in. We have to run some tests. I mean, I was panicking. And she said, okay, that's fine. You can come in and we'll absolutely run some tests, but you're 44 and I think this is normal. And so I felt a little bit better, and I went in to see her a week later. And of course my period had stopped, and I was like, oh my gosh, I completely I overreacted. I feel so embarrassed now. It's gone. And, you know, and she said, okay, we'll run the tests, but you're 44 and this is probably just menopause. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm 44. I'm not making the connection. And so she sent me home with some research of my own to do. She said, look at these sources, study these things, read these books, so you understand what's happening to you. And I'm in a really fantastic position in that my doctor can take an hour out of her day to talk to me. You know, most women's doctors cannot do that. They've got 15 minutes with you, and that's the, you know, that's it. So when I started doing the research and realizing that there just weren't a lot of good natural options out there, HRT is an option for women, and it's one that's most prescribed by doctors. HRT and antidepressants, which are pharmaceuticals. And I didn't find either of those to be particularly appealing, but I also have a history of breast cancer in my family. And so HRT, my doctor and I decided was not a good option. But I was looking for natural solutions for you know, combating or addressing my irregular periods and the other symptoms that I realized were part of it that I hadn't made the connection with previously. And when I did that research, I realized it just wasn't out there. And it really made me angry. I'm kind of a scrapper, I guess you would say. And so when I get angry, I want to fix the problem. And so I talked to my best friend, Danielle Jacobs, who's the other co-founder of Mentalabs. And together we said, okay, we have the resources to fix this. And we, between the two of us, are the right people to do this. And so we did. And that's a really long story, but I think it comes down to, you've got to realize that there is something fundamentally broken, and just decide that you're the person who's going to fix it. Don't wait around for somebody else. Just do it.
Wow. That was like not like the best life motto to live by. I think just a mic drop. You have the perfect mic. You can mic drop and we can be done right now with this interview. But I don't want to be, because I think there's a lot of more juicy nuggets we're going to unfold here. So you kind of hinted at, you know, the current approach to menopause or perimenopause and how it's fundamentally broken. How can we fix that? Because I know you guys did the research. You found solutions that are all natural compared to more pharmaceutical grade. And I would just love to dive right in, because I know there's so much information that you guys put out there about your products.
Yeah, I think the first thing that women can do is to understand that it shouldn't be a taboo subject. When you start noticing changes to your body, and really, you'll start noticing them probably in your mid to late 30s to early 40s. When I started going back and looking at my life and making these connections about what was happening to me, I realized that I had been having symptoms since I was 40. I just didn't realize and didn't talk about it with other women, so I didn't know that that was what was happening. So the first thing that a woman should do is to recognize that it happens a lot earlier than 60. In fact, the average age for hitting menopause, the 12, so menopause is clinically defined as the 12 month consecutive months where you don't have a period. And so if you can recognize that it's probably going to impact your life earlier, that's the first key. The second key is not to, when you go see your doctor, and for many of you, this will happen. You will go see your doctor, and your doctor, newsflash, only got about 10 minutes of training on menopause in their entire medical career. So I have a very good friend who's an OB-GYN, and she was about 50 when her symptoms just sort of came out of nowhere and hit her. And she said, "What is going on with me?" She didn't even make the connection. And she is a medical doctor with training in women's reproductive health. So they will probably tell you, okay, you're in perimenopause. Here's some HRT, or here's some antidepressants, because they don't have any better answers for you. So don't accept, if you don't feel that those are proper answers for you, don't accept them. That's the other thing. And then go do your research. And luckily, there are people out there like Danielle and I who are amassing sources and source material and going through clinical trial research and making sure that the products that we're offering meet very specific criteria. And that is to be all natural, because Danielle is actually a certified nutritionist on top of being a fantastic businesswoman. And so when we talked about making products that were good for women, you're right, she really came at it from a what I put in my body matters perspective. And which I really appreciate that she decided to do this with me, because she's brilliant and phenomenal. So anyway, find the things that are natural that will help you. Because if you're listening to this show, you're probably looking for a natural solution anyway, right? Do the research and talk to other women and find the product that will help you in the way that you want to be helped. Don't take, just, you know, we trust our doctors and we absolutely should trust our doctors, but we should take everything that they say with a grain of salt, I think. Especially when it comes to our bodies, because we often go into a doctor and say, you know, I have this thing, especially if they're a male doctor and a little bit older, they tend to just write it off. And that's not acceptable.
No, I know. I think it's like the quote I've heard about women's health is doctors have a body of like a wealth of body of knowledge, but you have the wealth of knowledge about your own body.
Exactly.
So you know what feels right. You know that what's off, you know when something feels right, like a good option for you. And just like Vanessa, you know when something's not a good option and it's time to look for the other option, which is so powerful. I think in the past 10 years, I've seen a shift, maybe because I'm just in this part of culture more now, where people are starting to look at authority figures like doctors who are very helpful. We need modern medicine, emergency medicine. I am so thankful if I break my leg, I can go to the emergency room right now. But we're starting to realize there are other options, you know, that might help us more in a different way or just support our body in the functions that it's naturally designed to do.
Exactly. And the difference is that when you break your leg, it's really obvious, right? It's an obvious problem.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
But when you're going through menopause rage and you're snapping at the people that you love, and that's not how you would normally behave, and you tell your doctor that, and if your doctor says, here's some antidepressants, right? They often don't believe when we say these things. And it goes back to an entire medical history of women and hysteria. And there's some really great articles out there about medicine, women's medicine specifically, and the history of that if your listeners are interested in, they should Google and take a look at, because it's really fascinating. We have come a long way, but we have a long way to go, because that's still a holdover way of thinking in the medical community.
Totally agree. I know we talked off air, like a little bit on air, about how periods are more acceptable to talk about, how birth is more acceptable to talk about now, but perimenopause, menopause is not so much. And we've had beautiful guests on Witchy Wellness Radio talking about those other two subjects and how it's important to have this community and the support. And here's these all natural options. And I think it's about time that we figure this out for perimenopause and menopause as well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, clearly.
Yeah, clearly. I sure hope so.
There's another thing that a lot of people don't understand about the process of going into menopause, that perimenopausal process, is that estrogen regulates so many functions in a woman's body. You know, it's a really critical piece. And so when our ovaries stop producing it and we don't have it, or it's in fluctuation because it's perimenopause, right? So you have these roller coasters of estrogen coming into your body. And so your body has to sort of figure out, okay, where am I going to put the estrogen? Am I going to put it into your vasomotor system so that you don't have a hot flash? Or am I going to put it over into your cognitive function so that you don't have brain fog, right? It controls so and regulates so many processes. And so what you want to do in this perimenopausal journey is take those roller coaster fluctuations and make them more like happy little beach waves, right? So that they don't impact you. Because when you have a hot flash, or when you have mood swings, or when you have brain fog, it impacts your ability to have functioning relationships. It impacts your ability to have a career. And what's really awful is that it just comes at you right in the middle of the decade where most women are finally starting to climb the career ladder and see the culmination of all of their efforts, right, in your 40s and your 50s. And it's just so fundamentally unfair, biologically speaking. And there are better ways to handle it. So anyway.
No, I love what you say. Take those mountain peaks or roller coaster hills and curb them down to a wave or a little bunny hill, if you will.
Exactly.
I would love to hear you guys. I know you have a three-pronged approach, very unique approach to menopause and perimenopause. Could you tell us all about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when Danielle and I started really talking about, okay, what do we need to do to fundamentally change the way women go through perimenopause and menopause, we identified three areas. The first is changing the conversation. So making sure that women feel comfortable having conversations with each other, with their partners, with their children, with their coworkers, with their bosses, with their doctors. Because you need to have honest conversations with all of those people. So changing the conversation. The second is to change the research, the way we research this. So I touched on a little bit what the medical community, you know, approaches perimenopause like, and it's not a great approach. They just don't get the education. And so that's partly because the research isn't there. And the research isn't there for a lot of reasons, and I think a lot of historic reasons that probably are too varied and lengthy to get into now. But I guess the best way to illustrate this is to talk about the National Institute of Health. They are the major granting organization for medical research. And so when you submit a grant to study menopause, they require you to have men in your study. I know. I can see everyone's eyebrows just going right up into their hairline. I know. And when I found that out, that was part of what got me so angry because, you know, they're supposed to be a control group because women are too varied to study. Okay, maybe in the past that was true, because we didn't have the tools that we have now. And so the other part of what Danielle and I are doing is to create the tools that allow for research to fundamentally change. So we have created an app, it's called MenoLife, and it is a place for women to track their symptoms, to get answers, to write, to have conversations with other women. It's kind of a one and done app, if you will. But the critical part of this, and the reason I bring it up, is because in the past, there have been the largest group of women that in midlife that were ever studied for perimenopause and menopause as a cohort were 8,000. We already have nearly 20,000 women on that app. And everything that they record is anonymized and de-identified. And the app is approved retrospectively for IRB and clinical study, and it is HIPAA compliant, not HIPAA certified yet, but we're working on that, but HIPAA compliant, because we feel that we can create tools for researchers to look at this data, to see these kinds of things in real time, and then you can suss out patterns between women, even if we are variable. So, and then the third part of that is to create natural solutions for women who find that HRT and antidepressants are not the way they want to go. So we have created a whole suite of products, but the two products that we are most proud of are our probiotics. They're actually symbiotics. They combine probiotics, prebiotics, vitamins, and minerals all into one pill. So MenoFit, which is the product that women tell us over and over again how much they love, has 28 ingredients in it. They are all natural. Yes, because it's really easy to create a pill that's a couple of ingredients. And, you know, had Danielle and I known this going in, how difficult it would be to create a 28 ingredient pill, we maybe would have done it that way, but that was the right way to do it for the customer. And so we're very proud of that. And ultimately is the thing that I think women appreciate most about our company is that we don't take the easy way. We don't take the shortcut. We find the solution that actually works.
Awesome. And I know a lot of your products also help with symptoms maybe people might not realize that's part of perimenopause, like sleep, for example.
Right. So there are about 40 symptoms that we've identified so far. The medical community, not Danielle and I, have identified so far as being symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. And one of them is insomnia, is this inability to fall asleep. You can't turn your brain off to fall asleep. And if you do fall asleep, you can't stay asleep. And so we've actually created a solution for that. It's called Well Rested by Menna Labs. And it is a 7-ingredient product that has GABA and serotonin, GABA and magnesium and a few other things that allow a woman to fall asleep, to shut her brain off. You know, my husband can lay down in bed and fall asleep in 2 minutes. And that's just not my reality. But when I take Well Rested, I fall asleep easier, which is a godsend for me because I've been an insomniac for about 2 decades. So sleep, allergies, dry eyes. I know all of these things that they don't tell you are things that can happen to you when your estrogen starts to fluctuate, but it's the truth.
Well, I mean, so what are some other ways, I guess, that how does menopause and perimenopause affect women's lives? I mean, it's sometimes potentially devastating. It's like you said, it's very impactful, especially the timing of things.
Yeah, it absolutely can be. When I started talking to other women online after Danielle and I decided we were going to do this, I started talking to other women, and one woman that I talked to specifically stood out. She told me that, you know, I had identified menopause rage as something that I was going through. And she told me, look, I love my husband, but I can't stand him anymore. And that, I don't know why. And I'm yelling at my kids, and my kids are good kids, but I can't, I just blow up. And then I feel bad. And I said, look, it's because this is what you're going through. And it's normal. This menopause rage thing is normal. The stress that you feel is because estrogen helps regulate your stress levels. And so if your estrogen is fluctuating, of course your stress levels will fluctuate along with it. And the more you can't, it becomes cyclical, right? The more you can't sleep, the more you get stressed out, the more you feel bad because you yelled at your kids or your husband or your partner or whatever, the more it just feeds in on itself. And if you don't find a solution, it can be devastating. So natural products can go a long way. Phytoestrogens are very good at acting like estrogens in your body and helping to smooth out those transitions. But the reason probiotics are beneficial, certain probiotics, is because they do a process called deconjugating estrogen, which means that you can reuse the estrogen in your body that your body would have passed out in waste or stored in your fat cells. Yeah. And so that's why we gain a little bit of weight in midlife, because our body is trying to hold on to the estrogen. It's storing it in fat cells so that it can reuse it later when it doesn't have any, right? So if you can make use of it now, your estrogen levels will taper off nicely and not be these, you know, these peaks and valleys. So I think, you know, if women can meditate, meditation is fantastic. Give yourself some affirmations first thing in the morning. Remember that if you tell yourself that you love yourself and that you are worthy of taking care of, the more you repeat it, the more you believe it, is so important. You know, it's not just about putting a pill in your body. It is about a fundamental approach to making sure that you're living holistically.
Awesome. I love what you said about the microbiome, because I feel like, you know, there's so little research done though, and there's so much more to learn, but the stuff that we've learned now is just blows me out of the water.
Astounding.
And I never knew that. And I was like, oh, when you just said that about storing fat, your estrogen, your fat, I was like, oh, our bodies just doesn't want to let it go. It wants to save all the estrogen. Please don't go. I don't know why it made me awe, but it did. I don't know. They're just trying to help our bodies.
Exactly. And it's the right call, because your body knows it needs estrogen, but it's by storing it away for later does more harm than good in some ways. And I love that you brought up the microbiome, because we only decoded what's going on there about 10 years ago. And so it is a field ripe for study. And so we have done a lot of research. We work with a research partner at the University of Arizona. His name is Dr. John Kanhelas, and he has been studying women's health and probiotics and their impact on women's health, menopause, and heart health in particular, which is a whole other thing. He's been studying that for about 20 years. And so, it's not just Danielle and I sussing out this information. We work with a researcher who can tell us, this is what we're finding. These are the interesting results. Here's what you should be looking at.
Awesome. I know we talked about perimenopause and menopause on the show. We didn't really talk about what constitutes perimenopause. I know the symptoms vary, but is there a way to like describe, I know it's the time leading up until menopause, but is there a way to describe it for some people who are listening? Like, I've never heard of this perimenopause before.
Sure. Absolutely. So it is the transition that a woman goes through leading into menopause. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to happen to her when she's in her 20s, and then in her 30s, she's going to be fine. And then she's going to hit menopause when she's 45. That's not how it works. It is definitely very clear stages of a woman's life. And it starts, estrogen starts fluctuating in your mid to late 30s. The average woman reaches menopause, that 12 consecutive months without a period, at 51. But it can happen as late as, you know, your early 60s, depending on your body. And it usually lasts, on average, 7 years. But it can last upwards of 13. So you can be going through these estrogen fluctuations for 13 years before you hit that 12 consecutive months with no period. And newsflash, if you go through 12 consecutive months without a period, you are clinically in menopause. But if you have a period after those 12 months, guess what? You have to start all over again and have another 12 consecutive months of no period before you're considered to be in menopause again.
Wow. So you can technically be in perimenopause more than once I'm learning. I did not know that.
And third, can you imagine? I've talked to women who this has been the case, 13 years of fluctuating hormones and having no recourse and nothing to help them. Yeah.
Wow. I want to talk more about your app and, you know, how finding the right tools to track your health during this transition is key to helping, you know, the impact of perimenopause and menopause. I'm hoping those 13 years are going to maybe slim down, or at least the bunny hills will feel better than the Black Diamond ski resort.
Well, remember, 7 years on average.
Yeah, yes. I'm not trying to scare anybody here. No.
And you know, this is the thing. Perimenopause should not be something you're afraid of. Mm-mm. because there are tools out there now that can help you. And key among them is tracking your symptoms. So you need to know what symptoms to watch for. So you need a place that can tell you what the 40 common symptoms are. You need to know what can trigger those symptoms, because a whole host of things can set off different symptoms. And if you know you're having the symptom, but you don't know that some of the behavior you're engaging in can cause them, then there's no way out of it, right? So if you're having hot flashes and you don't realize that caffeine can cause them, then that cup of coffee that you drink first thing in the morning is making you have hot flashes for the rest of the morning. Well, you'll never figure that out if you're not tracking them and if you're not using a tool that will help you. So there are some menopause apps out there, but what you want from your app is to be able to identify those symptoms easily, to be able to track them very quickly, because if you're having a hot flash, you don't want to be paging through your app to try to figure out how to, right? It's already annoying enough as it is. You just need to quickly say, I'm having a hot flash and I engaged in, you know, these activities that could have been triggering it. And then you want to be able to look at your insights and your trends over time. So that if you are drinking caffeine and you're drinking wine and you're, you know, going outside when it's really hot, and those three things can trigger hot flashes, you don't know necessarily which one caused your hot flash. You need to suss out patterns over time. So you need to find a way to do that. You know, I was talking with a woman when we were trying to build this app. She was using 11 different apps and a spreadsheet to try to track all of this stuff, because there just wasn't a good option out there, which is why Danielle and I decided, okay, we're just going to build one. So if you're looking to track your symptoms, you absolutely should, because you need to know what they are, what causes them, and if what you're doing to change your behaviors is working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. 11 different apps. Oof. I don't even think I use 11 apps on my phone. I mean, I have them, but do I use them consistently? No, probably not. I would love to talk about, I know you guys wrote a best-selling Amazon book, How to Master Menopause. Congratulations. That is amazing. I would love to hear more about the book, what all the juicy info is inside. And also, I would love for you to tell us about the Witchy Wellness listener, exclusive listener freebie, if you will.
Absolutely. Yes. So Danielle and I wrote a book. It's called How to Master Menopause. And it is on Amazon. It's a paperback. It costs $12.99. It has a 4-star rating on Amazon. And you know, when you're self-publishing and you're you know, an author who's never written a book before, full disclosure, we've never written a book before. 4 stars on Amazon is pretty great. We're very proud of that. It goes over the 6 most common symptoms of perimenopause and menopause, and tells you actionable insights that you can take immediately that day to start addressing them. It does talk about probiotics, but it talks about so much more. It talks about changes to diet, talks about changes to exercise, changes to the way you approach stress. So talking about meditation and that sort of thing. We wrote that a year ago, and we have learned so much. It's probably due for a revision because we know so much more, but it's really good information. It's solid information, and I think can help anyone who doesn't know what they might expect if they're you know, not there yet, but they want to know what they should prepare for and how. It's a really good resource. If they're right in the throes of it, it will give them actionable insights right this second that they can take to change their life for the better and address those symptoms. And your listeners can get a free download of the whole book at menolabs.com/witchywellness.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. I love books like that. You can just put into action right away. this wouldn't be Witchy Wellness Radio episode if we didn't talk more about meditation and mindfulness and stress management. I would love to know what your practices you have in your life, but what are some things that you found that have women really have benefited in this arena?
Absolutely. So I am not a meditator by nature. It's not something that came natural to me. But what I did start doing was yoga, because it's difficult for a person whose mind is always racing to quiet it. And I found that yoga was a great place to start, because I had to focus on my breath and the position of my body, and there was no room for my mind to race, right? So yoga was a fantastic first start to get me into the mindset of meditation. And then I needed to, as I started yoga and meditating, being really mindful. Mindfulness has been key for me. Mindful of when a symptom is happening to me, and tracking it is actually really wonderful, because it does help me stay mindful of what's happening to me. And not just being mindful, but then saying to myself, I love affirmations. In fact, we have them on our app, meditations and affirmations and yoga. We do it all. But I love affirmations because it is really difficult, I think sometimes as a female especially, to look at yourself and say that you are enough and that what you're doing is enough. And so the affirmation part of my day always happens in the morning and just before I go to bed. And I tell myself, I go through what I want to accomplish in the day, and I tell myself that I will accomplish it. And then in the end of the day, I tell myself, you did accomplish this. And that helps. It helps to keep a mental roadmap of what I've done to be successful in a day. And I don't always meet them. And if I don't meet them, there's always tomorrow.
Oh man, what a beautiful practice. I know for me, getting into yoga was kind of a lifesaver. I tried to meditate before, and it's really hard to when you have a very, I call it recovering perfectionist kind of mindset, you know?
That's perfect. Yes. And I think describes so many of us.
Yes, it does. It definitely does. And you're right. You can't, there's not enough room on that mat for you to be in your head. Or, I mean, there is, but you're going to fall over if you do.
Exactly. I've fallen over many times.
Oh, me too. Me too. If not weekly still. But you know what? It teaches me another lesson to get back up and just laugh it off, because, you know, sometimes you fall down and that's okay. It doesn't have to be so dramatic. But yeah, it's very similar to my practice in the morning. I'll do breath work and some type of a short meditation and pre-visualize my day. How is it going to go? What am I going to do? And at night, I like to reflect in kind of that meditative state of, you know, where did I do really well? Where was I really proud of myself? But if I had a chance to do it again tomorrow, how would I have done it differently? So maybe I decided to, I don't know, snap at my partner, or, you know, whatever it is, write an angry email. What happened before that that could I could have maybe realized or tracked before I got triggered? Or it could have been like, maybe I didn't work out today. Well, what did I make a priority more than moving my body? And that's been very helpful in a non-judgmental way. And that's key, because sometimes we get on like, oh, you're so worthless. You didn't get the, you know, X, Y, Z done. But this is a learning experience, and looking at it from this like 30,000 feet up view of this observation deck from like a plane is what I like to think about, like, oh, I'm just going to look down and not in the trenches of it. It's easier for us to learn, really.
Absolutely. It is.
Awesome. Well, I had such a wonderful time talking with you, Vanessa, today. I hope that people feel more hopeful about their perimenopausal and menopausal transition time and know that there are solutions, and there's apps, there's books, there's community really around this of women who are taking the stand and want to make a change. But thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was so lovely to talk with you.
I had a great time. Thank you for talking with me.
I love
spreading the word about how we can help each other get through this. Mm-hmm. Because there are 25 million in the United States right now who are in perimenopause and menopause. So when you feel alone in this, just remember that there are 25 million of us. You're not alone.
Not alone. Hmm. Well, thank you for sharing all of your wisdom and research and your own experience with us. And we end every single episode asking, how may we, the listeners, be of service as an act of gratitude for you today, as an act of service for you. How may we, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
I would say, if you want to thank me for anything that I've said that's been impactful for you, share it with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Let her know that, hey, you've learned about this thing called perimenopause, and does she know about it? Because the more we can talk with each other, the more we can be really honest with each other, the more we'll feel that we can be honest and open with our partners and our children and everyone else who we have to maintain relationships with through this transition. So spread the word about what you learned.
Yes. Yes. And as always, you know, this episode or any episode, I always encourage to share it. If you think of some loved one you want to share it with, there's a reason. Or if you're really interested in learning more and either downloading the book or maybe the app or getting your hands on some of these beautiful supplements, follow up and try it out, because you don't know what this little intuition hit, this inkling of intuition, is leading you towards.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Vanessa, for coming on. It was so wonderful talking and hopefully dismantling the stigma of perimenopause today together.
Thank you, Lauren.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.